You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We've never done really a segment like this before. Joining me is the one and only our fashion expert, as well as our gun expert, Mike Musselma. Gunner, what's up? How are you today?
Good. You?
I'm well. I'm all right. I don't know. I've been waking up at like 3 in the morning, and then I can't get back to sleep. I don't know why. I don't know why that's happening to me, but it is. But it's all right.
Yeah, you'll get over it.
I know. I'll get over it. Before we talk, do the gun talk segment. In fact, I already have an email about gun talk. Our pastor got released from Turkey. Did you see that?
What?
The pastor that Turkey has been holding for 2 years, saying that he's a terrorist.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to get those kind of guys confused. He got released today. So. Yeah, so in the last 24 hours, the Turks have said, hey, look, we know the Saudis killed the dude. We have recordings of it in their embassy. What? Yeah, our Secret Service tapes everything that goes on in there, just so everybody knows. We can give you the audio of them interrogating him and then cutting him up. So, and let me tell you, we're so happy about it. We're going to give the Americans back their pastor that we've been holding for 2 years on bullshit charges. So what's going on? What's going on? Like, what game is getting played, Gunner?
Shit, I don't know.
I mean, you've been around the world. Hello. You've been to that part of the world. Hello. You're a foreign policy expert. Hello.
I think they're just trying to make amends. Look over here. Everything's fine. So that was the token, you know. Here you go. Just don't give us a hard time.
Okay. Clearly, you don't want to talk about that because that never happens over there. All right. Let me read you before we do gun talk.
All right.
We're going to do gun fashion talk, which will be interesting because we've never actually done this.
Well, we're going to do kind of both.
We're going to do. Because it's not just good to shoot cool guns. You got to look cool while you're shooting cool guns.
Got to dress the part.
Thank you very much. All right. Email entitled Gun Talk. Just wanted to get Gunner's advice on long-range shooting. I apologize in advance that this may be a little long-winded. I am shooting a 3.5 Creedmoor out of a 20-inch barrel Tikka CTR. I have a Caldwell Photo Eye chronograph, but I am not too confident in my velocity readings as my dope at 400 is hitting high but shooting half MOA at 100 yards. Is there a better chrono the gunner would suggest? Also, should I suspect that ballistic coefficient advertised on the box is mismarked? One last question. Is there a ballistic calculator app that he would recommend? Thank you both for your time. Semper Fi. Jake. All right, where do you want to start?
What chronograph is he using? The Caldwell Ballistic Precision?
I have a Caldwell Photo Eye chronograph.
Okay. I know Caldwell makes a lot of them, but the Caldwell Photo Eye.
Is there a better chrono the gunner would suggest? What do you use?
I have a Caldwell Ballistic Precision. And I've never had any problems with that. You know, and that comes with information that just goes to your phone.
So Ballistic Precision is Bluetooth linked to your phone.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's a good chronograph. I mean, so, you know, there's a lot of them out there. They got some new ones that basically he's probably shooting through the triangles, the double triangles, you know, that sit on top of the chronograph that measure. There's one that's out there. I haven't used it yet, but it's an underslung. It attaches to the gun, and it looks like a it's just like a
piece that
extends from the barrel, and as the bullet passes over that, that's a good chronograph, if I've heard. But, I mean, if he's really into it, well, then shoot. I mean, I would tell you, if money's no object, then get a Doppler radar chronograph.
Ooh.
You know, you're talking about 600 bones now, but, you know, if you're really into shooting, you really want the information, Doppler's always the way to go. I mean, that's the high-end stuff. That doesn't make mistakes. And that stuff's cool. I mean, if you use it, that's as good as it gets. And lab radar makes one pretty easy to use. But its accuracy is, you know, 0.1%, where the chronograph that he's probably using, you know, I don't remember what mine is. I think the accuracy is like 0.2%, 0.3%. But yeah, you get Doppler, man. There's no way around that. That's it. You
don't have to do anymore. Legit. All right.
Yeah. Well, so it's called the Magneto Speed. That's the one I'm talking about.
The is made by Doppler.
No, that's the one that attaches to your gun.
Okay. Right.
I haven't seen anything on it. I haven't used one. It goes underneath your muzzle brake and it kind of extends out. It's nice because you don't have to set everything up. You just attach it.
Right.
And then it's got a little readout that it attaches. And they're fairly, I mean, they're the same price as the Caldwell, but those Magneto Speeds, you can get them on, you know, I think Midway or, you know, places like that.
Could you explain to everybody else what a chronograph is?
Chronograph measures velocity of the bullet. And it does a lot more. I mean, we're not going to go into it, but it basically measures the feet per second, how fast that bullet's coming out of your gun.
Got it.
And when it's capturing it between two areas, so it's got one, it passes through there, and then it passes the second, and that tells you feet per second.
Got it.
Now, the box issue, what it says on the box, no, the box is exactly what the factory tested it to. So you don't, unless you do the reading, you know, how they actually measure that. And I think everybody's different. That's why I always tell people, if you're into shooting and you want to shoot long range, then yeah, get a chronograph of some sort, either a Doppler or a radar one, or one of those Magnetos. What type of ammunition did he say he was shooting though? Is he doing reload?
Does not say.
Yeah, so he's shooting 6.5 Creedmoor. It's all about paying, the price. So if you want to shoot super accurate, then you're going to have to pay some good money.
For ammunition.
Oh yeah. You know, a lot.
What explain a lot? How much?
You know, you could, if you're shooting barns and stuff like that, you're shooting, you know, close to $2 a bullet.
Whoa.
yeah, it can get pricey, man. But, you know, you don't, it's very consistent ammo. So that's why I always say that, hey, do this. Or if you just want to get some stuff. So it's always the grains, the load, what they're using, you know, and then the bullet weight, finding the actual magic bullet. And 6.5 Creedmoor, I haven't shot that long time, but I used to shoot 140 grain barns, out of that. And I know you can shoot, you know, some Sierra Match Kings, you know, things like that. But I think I always found I always found the 140 grain to be good.
Good.
Be perfect. Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. And then the last question is, is there a ballistic calculator app that you would recommend?
Yeah, I use one. It's on my phone. It's called AE Ballistics, I think it's called. Let me see. Pull it up again. I Ballistic AE Advanced Edition. I really like it. It's in, it, you store all the information. And what's nice about it is it's, you can add different reticles for your scope that will show you where to aim and your come-ups and everything else like that. So it's nice. The Ballistic AE is the only one I've ever used. I don't use some, like Nosler has one.
And what's
one just called Ballistics.
What's it used for, your calculator?
Oh, dude, this is like a three-day show.
All right, we got time. We got a weekend. Keep, start going. Go.
Well, so you start out, you open it up, and you do your projectile characteristics.
Right.
So you put in your ballistic coefficient
right.
of your bullet,
right.
Your bullet diameter, your bullet weight,
right.
Drag model, which is
right.
always going to be G1,
right.
Your muzzle velocity, how far your chronograph was from
right.
the barrel, and then your zero range, zero height, zero offset, sight height, line of sight angle, cant angle, and then your atmosphere, current atmosphere, wind configurations, and then you can control your outputs to maximum range, minimum range. And then when you hit calculate trajectory, it'll give you a table. So you're looking at, I think the last, I'm shooting a 284, 100 grains, muzzle velocity 2,900 feet per second. I zeroed it at 180 yards, and my sight height was 1.5 inches over the barrel. And so what it does is give me bullet trajectory, and it broke it down by 25-yard increments. So it shows me my bullet drop in inches, MOA, my wind in inches and wind in MOA, my velocity feet per second, and then the energy, and then time of flight. So, at 300 yards, it takes 0.34 seconds for the bullet to get 300 yards. And at 268 yards, my bullet has dropped about five inches. Optimal is 175, where it's only dropped 0.3 inches. So, I mean, it just gives you a lot of information. And then what I do is I print that out, and I put that with that round for that gun. So when I shoot those rounds, that's what I refer to. I refer to that table and that chart.
And
I do that for all my ammunition.
Got it. All right.
So you always want to, but remember, you always want to search and have bullets that have a higher ballistic coefficient, your BC. That means ballistic coefficient means it'll retain velocity at longer distances. So a better BC means that the bullets maintain higher velocity at longer distance. So you can have smaller bullets with higher bullet BC than bigger bullets because, again, it's all measured by the energy being retained, the velocity being retained at a longer range. So that's how that works.
All right. One more question before we start. Mm-hmm. Matt, can you tell me how to get back to sleep when I wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning? I've been doing a lot lately. Do you have any secrets to getting back to sleep? I don't. I just lay there awake.
I just go to bed. Don't ask me. I go to bed real late.
Yeah, I'm a shit sleeper, man. I wake up, I don't know how many times a night. If I sleep through the night, I wake up and go, it's 5 in the morning? Like, what just happened? I slept through the night. So, I suck. When I wake up, then my brain starts working, and then I lay there and I read and something like that. So, yeah, I'm horrible at it. I suck. And then I just get up and get about my day. So, anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Here, should I play some music? Yeah, I'll play some music. All right.
Okay.
This is the Gun Talk music. Oops. I screwed it up.
All right.
And we're back. Gun Talk live here on All Marine Radio. Yeah, from your 50,000-watt music, Mother of the Valley. Don't forget NASCAR tonight at River City Speedway. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. But before we get to that, Joining me from Granbury, Texas, by the power of the internet and Skype, brought to you by 5-hour energy drinks that really would do work, is Mike Musselman, also known as the Gunner, here for Gun Talk. Gunner, how you doing today?
You've got off the end. Yeah, you need some sleep.
All right, so Gun Talk. The focus of Gun Talk today is going to be?
We're going to talk about accessorizing.
Accessories. Always sexy. Always sexy. All right.
To include apparel.
Yeah. All right. Because
it's important.
No, come on. You look good, you shoot good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal.
That's not always true, but it sounds good. All right, so where do you want to start?
Well, let's talk about accessorizing. Why would you accessorize? We can talk about pistols. We can talk about rifles. But let's just talk about weapons in general.
Well, you accessorize because, come on, that stuff has exploded with all the gun stores, the big gun stores especially, all the different things they carry, all the things that we see on TV, whether we look at special ops units or things cops have, those accessories are always in front of you if you're into shooting or if you're into weapons. They're everywhere.
It's a matter of getting the right accessory for the right price. Too many times people get duped into buying expensive accessories that really don't add anything to your shooting experience. They don't enhance, you know, the capability of the gun. So that's what you got to be careful about. So, you know, so here's my rule. First of all, when we're talking about ARs, and even now pistol, Glocks, talking about Glocks, is the source of ammunition, how it's fed to your gun. And I've said this before. You can have a very expensive, very good gun, but if you go cheap or if you go unreliable and you put a bad magazine in there, it doesn't matter how good your gun is. How it's being fed is going to fail, and then you're going to fail. You want reliability.
I don't like that.
Yeah, you got to have reliability. So one of the biggest ones, so magazines for ARs. If you have an AR, and throw away all of your metal magazines. Just get rid of them.
All of them?
And you should be using nothing but Magpuls.
All right, Magpul.
Magpul.
Can you spell it?
P-Mag, E-Mag, you know, that type. And the reason being is, one, durability. Two, more important is the fact that it never fails to feed. The design and everything about that magazine, and people say, well, they're plastic. No, it's polymer. It's strong. It's lightweight, and it's very strong. And it's not going to swell when it gets cold. The steel's not going to, contract, and then when it gets hot, it's not going to expand. Polymer doesn't do any of that stuff.
But I thought I read an article that said at 120 degrees below zero, it doesn't function well.
And neither do you, neither does your gun. Yeah, that was, you didn't read an article. We were talking about that. It was just standard testing one time. He's like, oh, for crying out loud.
And I read it to Mike. Well, Mike, the finding says it doesn't perform well at 60 below zero.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Neither do you.
All right, continue. All right, so magazine. Can you spell Magpul so everybody knows?
Magpul.
There you go. Easy.
Go to the website.
Right, go to
start buying their magazines.
Right.
Replace everything you have. Right. And they have magazines for Glocks now.
Ooh.
Which I own a few. And let me tell you, I do not use any other Glock magazine. I use that Magpul magazine because, again, reliability. Yeah, that's huge, man. And the one of the neatest things about that is you can load that magazine 30 rounds, you know, for your AR, put that thing on the shelf, come back a year later, put that in your gun, and it'll feed. The spring doesn't weaken, it doesn't do anything, it feeds. It's amazing how long. I mean, you can store all your ammunition in the magazines, and I know there are people that will say, no, you can't do that because it'll weaken the magazine.
Yeah.
Yes, on a normal, cheapo, run-of-the-mill, but not a Magpul. Magpul will never fail you when you need it.
Yeah, it'll destroy the spring, and then you'll shoot a few rounds, and then it won't feed because you've kept that ammunition in there for so long.
Right. Right. So then, so we just talked about magazines. So again, get, and then they come in some cool colors. You know, they used to, well, at one time they had white, and they don't have it anymore, and then you could dye it. That was really cool. Yeah, so then you could just boil it. You boil the polymer in a solution like a nylon dye. Because, you know, it'll adhere to the nylon plastic.
Wow.
Yeah, you could make the different colors.
Like, what color do we want our magazines? Don't we want them black or metallic?
No, yeah, you know, I like changing it up. I like having the tan or the darker, you know, so it's the different colors, so you got contrast.
Is that just because you're a creative guy and you like different colors?
Yeah.
Or do you assign different ammunition to different color magazines?
No.
Okay.
It's probably not.
All right.
And then they got accessories for their magazines.
Huh?
Yeah. You can get a coupler, which you can put two magazines together. You can get one. Some of them have magazines. They have the windows, so you can see the rounds in there, see how many rounds you got left. They got a little indicator.
I like those.
So they sell ones that have that hold 10 rounds. They hold 20 rounds. They hold 30 rounds. The floor plates, which are amazing. People say, well, why do we have a floor plate? Well, because if you're resting your magazine in the ground, you want to have a plate that has a little stand, a little rubber stand, so you're not putting pressure on the magazine. You're putting pressure on that floor plate. And it allows for you to quick grab, too, so it's a little thumb loop. Pull that thing out and then go to town. They sell dummy rounds, which if you're going to do a price, they sell a five-pack for $5. Can't beat that. And they're the polymer magpole dummy rounds, chambered in 5.56, so you can throw those in. If you don't want to get rid of your steel magazines, you want to keep those, well then buy the followers, which are self-leveling. They're anti-tip. They won't tip forward. So if you've got a magazine, take it out, push on the front plate. If the front plate tips in, that's a lousy magazine. You don't want the follower that's the guy that pushes the rounds up to go back and forth. You want it an even flow from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. So then you can just get it's a three pack that they come in and you can get those. But they make magazines for AKs, they make, for Remington 700s, all sorts of different things. But again, Glocks, right now they're still coming out with Glocks. So they're slowly coming out. They don't have all the Glocks yet. I think they got like the Glock 17, the Glock 21, the Glock 27, you know, those type of things. So those are just magazines.
Okay, so let me stop you.
And they also have a 60-round magazine.
That's a good segue into my question. Do you have a preference in terms of magazine size that you like?
I use a lot of just the 20 rounds,
okay.
But I have a lot of 30. I got a 60. I have, 60's fun because that's pig time, man. Especially when you run into a big group of pigs, the last thing you want to do is change magazines.
So you would have a variety of sizes and you would tailor it to whatever type of shooting you were going to do.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
That 60 is nice, though. I will tell you. That is probably my favorite magazine. It's easy to load. It's not like others where it's very difficult. And it's reliable. And it feels good when it's in the gun. And it doesn't hang too low. It's well-balanced. It's a great magazine. Great.
And again, I think a lot of times that we form opinions about maybe magazines or other equipment, and somebody bought, you know, a piece of crap 60-round magazine. They're like, oh, they it jammed all the time, blah, blah, blah. Mike's going in point was buy quality. And you tend
buy quality.
You tend not to have those issues. Spend more money, whether we're talking about ammunition.
Well, we're not talking a lot of money. Magpul's not going to break you.
No, but you're talking about buying quality, though, across the board. If you want it to work, buy quality. And if you do, then it performs tends to perform as advertised. Interesting.
You know, so then they go into stocks. All the stocks for your M4s, your AR-15s, your M16s, your M10s, your AR10s, you know. So they're one of the ones that I have the most of is basically what they call just a CTR. It's a nice stock. It's firm. It's robust. If you look at it, it reminds you of like an M4 stock.
Okay.
It's lightweight. It's got a cutout. It's got a locking lever you got to unlock. Some people like the ACS stock, which has a little compartment. And I have a couple of those, and those are nice because you can store batteries inside of them. You can put there's a little trap door on the back. And you can put a bore snake or, you know, something in there. So you can carry everything within the gun. Now if you're going precision and stuff, then, you know, again, you can get into, they have one that's the PRS, which is, it's a precision adjustable stock. It's got the adjustable, comb and it's got, you know, extended relief.
Okay. Were the two stocks that you just mentioned, were those adjustable stocks?
Yeah, they're all adjustable except for the PRS. PRS is not adjustable. Well, it's adjustable as far as, length and pull, but it's not like a collapsible stock. You know what I mean? It's built for like a range gun, like a, you're just going to shoot long range type stuff.
Got it.
Then they got pads, rubber butt pads.
Okay, hold on. I just want to make sure everybody understands what we're talking about. When you talk about collapsible, Mike, because what we're talking about is modular stocks, right, that can be adjusted for eye relief, for your shoulder and things like that.
Yeah, short people with short arms.
Right.
And then you don't have something
when you, but, and well. When you're talking collapsible, if people think of the M4, explain that.
What do you mean?
What a collapsible stock is. As
it's a stock that when you can extend it. It's a five-position stock that, you know, it'd be in different five positions. Just to fully extend it to collapse all the way in, and then in between.
Got it. All right.
So it adjusts for your body type.
Okay.
But they, you know, again, they have a ton of accessories when it comes to just the stocks. And then they got cheek risers, different size cheek risers that add different relief if you need those for your stocks. They have, fixed stock, so you can turn your Remington 700, get rid of that whole stock and turn it into a really nice precision, rifle with a modular polymer stock.
Okay, so build one for me. So if I buy a CTR stock, can I begin to put modules on that, for eye relief and,
you what?
So build a stock for me. Give me a stock to look at that I can accessorize the stock. Can I do that with a CTR stock?
Yeah. So if you look, are you looking at the CTR?
Yeah.
Okay. So the CTR, if you're looking at the CTR, there's actually four. You see two on each side, but,
right.
There's two little, slots there. That's for the cheek riser. The cheek riser goes on top of that and snaps into place to give you more relief. It adds height to the stock when you put your chin on it.
Got it.
The butt pad that's rubber on that, you can actually extend that. You can get more, if you need more extension or more rubber to cushion.
And so that would just be a size buy. You know, I need a quarter inch, I need a half inch, I need a full inch. And that would be
used. I don't know if they do full, but you can do quarter, three quarters, and half.
Okay.
Nice. But at point, yeah, so.
All right.
And then if you look at it, there's a little hole,
okay,
and then there's a slot. So you can put different types of slings in there.
Okay, so let me just stop you. So this is an extendable stock, so I can get it close, and then I just need whether it be a quarter or a half,
keep it the same. You don't have to add a cheek riser.
Or I'm, because I'm in between those two notches to get it perfect. That's what I'm looking at.
Right.
All right. All right.
And then it takes different types. You can do a QD. Universal snap in where that little round hole that's a button, you put the sling in there, or you can just loop it through the slot on the back. So it'll take different types of slings.
Got it.
It's not just a one size fits all.
Got it.
And you can give it a different color. If you got a tan rifle, you want to break up the outline of your gun, you want to give it some flash, change the color.
Got it. Do you have it now? CTR stock, do you have a brand that you like better than others? In terms of buying a, is CTR a brand name or a type? Because I see LaRue, I see Magpole, I see Tactical.
No, we're talking Magpole.
Okay. Right.
You wouldn't see, you wouldn't see any of that stuff. So you want to make sure that you either get the commercial or the mil spec, and that's based on the size of the tube. And just got to make sure you know what kind of gun yours is, if it's a commercial spec or a mil spec.
Got it.
So those are stocks. The next thing that you want to look into is grips. And these are, let me tell you, fantastic grips. And one of the best grip that I like the most that they make is that Moe grip.
Spell
it. It's got that M-O-E. And then they make a Moe Plus and a Moe K. And a Moe K2 and, you know, Moe SL. But the Moe is probably my go-to all the time.
Why?
Because I like the feel of it.
Explain.
Right? Because it's like a regular grip. It's kind of smooth.
Right.
This has got some grit to it, and it just feels better in my hand. It's got the back lip that gives me some relief on my hand, on my thumb. And then you can get, which is really, and here's, don't, and you don't have to stop there, but I have one, Myad, and that's a grip. It looks like the Moe. You can adjust the back strip, and you can adjust the front plate. And it carries a bottle, a lube bottle on its side, which is nice. So, again, you can carry all of your stuff in your gun.
So inside the stock.
Got some, or the grip.
Inside the grip, you got a little trap door and another little place to put accoutrement for your weapon.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I always tell people, one of the most important things that I got really into when they first came out, and I actually had in my gun in Iraq and Afghanistan, is the AFG, the angled foregrip. This goes on the rail.
Right.
It's not a broomstick. It's not like a foregrip that I'm holding. This gives me grip on my hand, so when I'm holding the stock, I can pull back on it, and it gives me some leverage on the gun.
Okay, explain the difference between that and a broomstick.
A broomstick is something that goes straight up and down. It's a vertical rail. Right. It's a vertical grip. It looks like a handle. Some people like those, and if you're going to get one, again, they got those there too, and they're more – the one that comes on our gun in the Marine Corps is just a round tube that sticks out. It's kind of cheesy. There's actually, it fits your hand better, and it molds to your hand a lot better than ours. But I like the angled foregrip. I don't like having my hand straight up and down. I like having it vertical or horizontal when I'm holding the gun. But this gives me a grip to hold on to and actually pull back on it, give me some leverage.
Okay, but it's still connected to the bottom side at 6 o'clock.
It goes on the rail, yeah.
Okay, so on the bottom side at 6 o'clock, but it's an angled, almost like another hand grip.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It's just not a vertical hand grip.
Got it.
It gives you some leverage. Those are fantastic. Then let's go into end guard. So they got really quick snap-on type that go over, that allow for easy access to the gun. Those are nice, but they come in a set length. So, you know, this is for front sight counter stuff, and then the other ones, they'll tell you right there, rifle length or mid-length or carbine length. If you have a carbine and you have just the regular black plastic, this is something that you'd want to do because it still comes with the heat shield inside there, but it gives you a little bit more grip and versatility as far as what you can do with the gun.
All right, could you back up a little bit and talk about rail systems, hand guards, how these things have
been? Well, we're not there yet.
All right.
Yeah, so rail systems, let's go into slings real quick and then we'll go into rails.
Got it.
So slings, people buy all these goofy ass slings, you know, and it's like, it drives me absolutely crazy.
Cool guy slings.
Yeah. If you are looking for a sling for your gun, the one of the best slings out there right now is their MS-1. It's a quick attach mount. It has a little slider so you can adjust it. Very comfortable. And if you want to go into like a single point type sling, then they have some ones there that actually clip into them. It's easy in, easy out. They're nice sight. You don't want to put those on a full size rifle. You want to put those on a smaller rifle, of course, like a carbine.
Right.
But then they give you mounting options, which is really nice. So you got a rail attachment. You can do a QD attachment. You can put that right in there. You can put one right on the back of your access point where your tube is. You know, there's a whole myriad of different things you can do as far as what you want or what you're looking for. And then that's their slings. And again, you notice when you go to their page, they don't have like a dozen slings. I mean, they've got an 8 because these do everything you need. Everything you need. Don't need anything more. So going to yours, rails and accessories. If you have, now I don't want to go into huge detail about this, but you can buy an M-Lock system is a new type of rails handguard system that it's not a Picatinny rail. It's just a smooth, it's got a bunch of little holes in it. And what's nice about the M-Lock is you can choose where things go all over the guns. And you can buy these adapters if you still have Picatinny, meaning the standard mill, you know, something that clamps to the gun. You buy this, you put it on that M-Lock slot, and then attach it to the rail. And then they got light mounts. When you look through this, you can just be overwhelmed with a lot of stuff.
Right.
But it makes a lot of sense. And one of the other things I always tell people is, if you got exposed rails or you got exposed M-Lock covers, you always want to protect those. And they sell these ladder rails,
right?
And they're rubber, and they snap onto that Picatinny rail, and they protect it, meaning from getting bumped and bad damage and shit like that. Or you can do these color, which I used to do on one of my guns, is these little snap-on enhanced rail packages. They come in little clips, and there's a whole bunch of them. You can get in different colors. And I used to get like a rainbow of colors and then snap them all together and give the whole front end like a rainbow effect, but in Earth's colors, not like the actual rainbow.
Right. But they're functional in that they protect the rails.
Oh, yeah, they protect the rails. And they add, you know, they give you the cool guy look. And then the M-Lock is the same one. They got an M-Lock rail cover.
I'm struggling with you with the rainbow look, though.
It looks actually cool. Well, it's not rainbow, like yellow, red. It's, you know, dark earth, gray, and olive drab.
Oh, so it's our rainbow.
Yeah, it's kind of like camouflage.
Okay, it's not their rainbow.
Not their rainbow.
It's our rainbow. All right, that's different. I was struggling with you with the yellow and red and blue.
No,
I
mean,
okay, all right. That helps me.
One of the sights, I always tell people when they're looking for flip-up sights, you know, so they got a scope on, they got the rails, and now they want something as a backup. You know, something happens to scope, they want to have a front sight post and a rear sight aperture. Don't go out and buy these expensive metal, you know, because metal adds weight. You don't want to keep adding weight. The polymer that they got in here is absolutely ridiculous because it's nice, it's tough, and really all you need is what they call the M-Bus. It's the M-Bus system, and it comes in the front and rear, and little flip-up, you know, you hit a little lever and it snaps up, you fold down, it locks in place, put it on the gun. You can get angled ones. You can get offset. You can get some for rear sight that are a little bit more fancy as far as what they can do. They got one that's an adjustable, long-range adjustable sight. It's pretty neat. You know, you can add clicks to it and stuff like that. But I always just go with the regular M-Bus, the first when you go on their website, you can get their, it's the 247 and 248 as far as product number goes. So you're looking at it.
And are we still on the Magpul website?
Oh, we're not leaving it. Yeah, we're on it. They got a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And then if you go into the other category, this is the cool category. They have an enhanced magazine release that goes onto your magazine. It gives you more real estate to actually push that. You know, that smaller button, it enlarges it, makes it a little bit easier to do. They got a trigger guard that extends the trigger guard, gives you more room in there. Then they got this thing that's called a BAD lever, a battery assist lever. And what that does, it allows you from just where your trigger well is to release the bolt. You don't have to go up there and take your hand off the gun and snap it. You just, that little lever is right there by your trigger finger, and you snap it.
And that's under other?
Yeah, if you go to other.
Okay. Under
and
other.
And you go to where it says bad lever, that thing's cool. I know a lot of Marines that carry that.
Wait a minute, I don't see it. Under other, I see AR-15, bipod, suppressor covers, Glock, tools, other?
Well, no, you should, if you're on their page, there's only other. And then you got a trigger guard, and then a bad lever right on top. See it?
No.
Are you on their website?
Yeah. So if I go to their homepage.
Right, go to their homepage.
And then I go on firearm accessories.
Firearm accessories.
Right. And then down in the right-hand corner, I see other.
Other.
Right. And then under other, what do I select?
You just click other, and then you scroll down.
All right, and I scroll down the left side, and I see what?
No, there should be pictures.
Ah, I'm with you.
Okay.
Bad lover. You know what? I don't know who invented that. That's an awesome idea, though.
Yeah. Well, they invent a lot of different things.
Yeah, but when you're down the prone position. You know, to take your hand off the pistol grip, right? And I mean, it's just, that's cool. That is a cool accessory right there.
Yeah. And then they got bipods. Those were all new. And the neat thing about these bipods is, I saw it at a gun show, and my buddy that works there, Drake, and, he showed them to me, and it's great because the problem with bipods is, you know, you can get inexpensive ones. They're cheap.
Right.
And they don't feel rugged enough. They don't feel strong enough. They don't give you the ability to do what you need to do. Or then if you need, well, hey, then Mike, you have to go to the high end.
Can you talk?
It's like $400.
Can you talk about the way a good quality bipod ought to be used by somebody who's going to use it as it should be used in order to place extremely accurate fire on something. So talk about how the bipod gets used in the whole physics.
Well, you want a bipod that's not tilting. You want to have the adjustments where it can tilt. You want to have each leg independent movement. So if you're on terrain that's, you could be, your left side of your gun could be higher than your right, so your left bipod's going to be shorter than your right bipod. You want to have it where it can cant a little bit if you have to cant it, and then but you want to have all the little adjustments where they can lock into place. And it's got to be strong because you're putting a little bit, you're pushing forward a little bit. You're putting some effort into the gun to make sure it's not going to slide anywhere. And the nice thing about them is, too, and this is what I like about these, is they're lightweight. The problem with all our bipods today is they're metal. And so, And as you can see in here, and it gives you all three different mounting systems. You can mount them through an arms, or a Picatinny, which is probably the most common. That's the 1913 standard rail. Or the M-Lock, that's that new system. It's got the little holes. They'll slide up in there and they swivel and then they lock into place. But like I said, when you click on these and you look at the quick look and you go and you look at, how far they extend each leg, and so on and so forth. Everything they took everything that was out there and they just kind of made it better. So they always give it a boost. But then, you know, the new stuff down there, those are magazine wells. Those are, they enhance the magazine well of a block. They kind of open it up, flare it a little bit more so it's easier to reload.
Got it.
Those are all new. Those are nice. The reloading thing, for the rounds. I haven't used one of those. And then they got, you know, a book down there that kind of gives you, it's a quick reference rifle stuff, and precision data rifle. It's just quick reference stuff.
Got it.
And, you know, it's just a nice little book to have, especially if you're going to the range. Because normally you'd have to, you build this yourself. So now it gives you kind of a core standard, and then you fill out your information. And then I've never used their Armor's Wrench. I've heard great things about it. And actually, I should start using it because it gives me everything I need. Right now, the ones I got are, you know, I have to use different tools for different things. This has everything involved. And so that's just their firearm accessories. And then comes the fun stuff.
All right, I've got two email questions here. The first one's entitled Lube. Hey, Mac, if you have time, how did you guys lube most firearms in Iraq and Afghanistan? What type did you use for handguns or rifles? And did you use it conservatively due to dust desert conditions, or did you use it more often? Mike?
I used, and I still use today, it's called TW20. It's a military or T-25, B, you know, that kind of stuff. So I have always used, I use synthetic, you know, grease. So, and the reason I like about TW, it's, and if you go to Milcom is, I think, that makes it TW-25. And they have a spray, they have a ton of stuff. That's all I use is TW-25s. Products. It's non-toxic. It's non-flammable. It's environmentally safe. And the temperature range is, you know, negative 90 degrees Fahrenheit to 450 degrees Fahrenheit, which I think you're going to be safe.
You're going to be safe.
Made in the United States. And, you know, so you use it sparingly when you just use when you need it. But it's the best stuff out there. Without a doubt. And if you go to Milcom, MIL-COMM, they have different products there. And, you know, I can't tell you how many different things I have up there, but I have like their, oh man, I have, that's like a little needle injector, you know, I can do, like if I need to put grease in a certain area, I do that. So it's in under defense products. I use their degreaser. So their syringe, it's TW25B grease in a reclosable syringe. I have that. That's for when I need it in certain little areas. The taper tube, I use that when I put it everywhere else. I don't have the big plastic jug, but I have the spray. The oil in the plastic bottle. I have the plastic bottle, the big one. I have the degreaser in a can. They also have it in a pump. I have that too. And then the refiller bottle. So I order all that stuff, man. And actually it's cheaper to get the whole 1 gallon and then, degreaser, you know, for $100. But it lasts, hell, I think I bought it like 6-7 years ago and I still have maybe 3/4 of it left.
So it's a one buy for life.
Oh yeah, you don't have to go crazy with that stuff.
Got it.
But so people tell me all the time, I buy everything I use, I go to Milcom. And even my boat, when I was using stuff for my boat, I went to the marine side and started using all of that stuff there. But hardware, I mean, they got it for, you know, everything. But that's all I have in my garage is Milcom. I don't know about other stuff. I know that the TW25 stuff has always, always, always never let me down. Their degreaser and cleaner is fantastic. It doesn't smell bad when you spray it and you soak the gun and you wait. And then all it is, then I take a rag and I wipe everything off, not scrubbing anything. Maybe every once in a while I take out a, you know, a toothbrush and I, you know, do that. But that degreaser stuff just rips that stuff off. And it doesn't leave a film or doesn't make anything gummy.
Got it. All right, I got one more question, then we'll talk apparel. HK416/556 civilian version of the M27 going for $2,700 to $2,900 on GunBroker. Does the gunner think that sounds like a fair price?
And that's a complete gun?
I cannot say. If it was
how much?
If it 27 to 2900.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's a fair price. I don't think you're gonna find one cheaper. You can find the 22 version cheaper, but not. Yeah, I mean that's a pretty good price. I'd jump on that.
All right.
That's a great gun. That is a great gun.
Again, the civilian version, right, of the M27.
Yeah, the M416.
Yes, complete gun with nice case.
Oh, then yeah, shit, yeah.
There you have it.
With a case?
With a case.
Where is it on GunBroker?
You might want to yoke that up. I'm not telling you how to live your life, but he's searching right now. Do you want us to take a commercial break, or we'll come back so you can do some business, or what? You're gonna snake somebody's.
See, the problem with these is if that's a firm price, yeah, that's a great deal, man. That's a great deal. Some of those though, you got to bid. I'm not a big fan of.
Normally those bids, though, they say this is the current bid, or you could buy it outright for a much more expensive price. All right, let's talk about apparel.
All right. So
and just so everybody knows, we're on the Magpul website, MAGPUL. You can go there now. You follow along with the Gunner's apparel review.
Yeah, and so I've always liked – their apparel, and they used to just start out with t-shirts and hats, but now they've gotten button-up shirts, like nice shirts, tops, bottoms,
like you could like wear around and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, yep. So they got like looking at the one that's new now. It's called the Logger shirt. Money, 4 colors available. You know, you can get it in rifle green, India ink, or rust. I like rust. Or new charcoal. And the neat thing, you know, these are nice shirts. They're rugged. They're made to last. You know, they're kind of outdoorsy, but they give you the full accoutrements of shooting, too. They take that in account. So they got snap pockets, which is nice, not the buttons. But a lot of their shirts now, and I think I had, I get it stained really bad and I gotta get a new one, but I used to have the Stateside shirt, which is nice because I used to use it for carrying. And it's got that, it feels good and it's made to untuck, keep it untucked, so.
Right.
It's nice for carrying concealed. Good breathability, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But great versatility when it comes to shooting. Their short sleeve shirt, and I think that's what I had too, was a Stateside. I call them stateside. Great for shooting because, again, it flares. It's not constrictive. They're made for people with guns. They keep that in consideration. And they're very stylish. You know, they feel really good.
So you can be a cool guy along with...
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows you're concealed carry.
Packing.
Right. All right. And you can see all the different colors that the shirts come in. And,
yeah, they're nice. They're men's shirts.
Men's shirts. Did you hear that?
Your wife would never buy this for you.
But if she saw you in this, she would say, oh, you look nice. Where'd you get that shirt?
Yeah. You look like a man. That's pretty neat.
Now, with this, but it doesn't look like toxic masculinity, does it?
No. It's just enough.
Just enough. Not toxic. You know what? I agree with that. It looks like solid masculinity. I'm not even sure what toxic masculinity. I think it's idiots that are men are like toxically masculine.
They try too hard.
Yeah, which really isn't masculine. I think if you're a man, you're like relatively confident in who you are and what you are. Toxic masculinity is another term for he's stupid. Okay, so anyway. All right, so those are shirts. Should we cover pants?
Yeah, we can talk pants.
Shooting pants, what do you look for?
Breathability, you know, that you want that nice feel that it's not too loose or, but you want ruggedness, you want, you know, that kind of stuff.
Got it. What about, I'm looking at things that they've got reinforced knees or different fabric on the knees. They've got something going down by the right pocket and the right thigh. Talk to me about that kind of stuff. You like that stuff? You don't like it?
Let me go back there real quick. You're at pants already? You're ahead of me.
Oh, sorry.
Bottoms. So which one are you talking about?
Could you explain?
The soft shell utility stuff?
They're using different fabrics for knees and for outside the right pocket and outside the right thigh. Explain what is that stuff about?
Those utility pants are range pants, or hunting stuff. You're going to go to the range. You're going to go out hunting. Those are those type of utility pants because they give you the magazine pouch built into the right hand side of the utility pants. So that's what that does. But it's stretchy, it's quick drying. When it does get wet, it dries out real quick. But it's that stretchy material, it's really comfortable.
Got it.
And then the other one, the reflex pants, now those are kind of the ones that I like when I go to the range because they're range pants. Again, they give you the comfortable durability feeling. You know, they're stretchy a little bit. They feel good. So design. These are all designed for concealed carry stuff. For shooting, for range stuff.
I'm with you.
So, but it's got a built-in two internal magazines on the hip. How many of your pants got that? None.
None of mine do.
Yeah, mine do. I have a couple. But that's how that works. I never had the shorts. The shorts look cool. But go to their accessories in their so now they got glasses
under their
they got gloves,
apparel, accessories.
Yeah, the belts. Now their belt, you know what, I'm gonna have to get one of these things because these are cool.
What kind of glasses do you wear?
Right now I wear
when you're not wearing
regular them. I wear Wiley X.
Got it.
These are new. I mean, I haven't had a chance look at these. If I was going to start wearing glasses, theirs, I'd probably go with, I like that Magpul Explorer look. And it's called the no mirror, black matte frame and a gray-green lens. Or tortoise bronze lens, no mirror. I like that look, too.
You're not a mirror guy?
No, I don't like that mirror look. I do and I don't. I mean, it's whatever. I like it.
All right.
They're very stylish, but they're very, again, it's not over the top.
Got it.
You can get them polarized. You can get them non-polarized.
Let me say so. The most expensive pair of glasses I've ever bought, I bought with my prescription. I have 20/25 vision. So I thought, well, I'm going to spend some money on these. I might as well get my prescription in them. It was before we went to Afghanistan, and I left them someplace. Since then, I had them for about 5 years. But if you spend a few hundred dollars on sunglasses, you get your prescription in them, you get the lens polarized. They're awesome. What they can do with glasses now, it honestly is phenomenal. The way they knock light down, the way they protect your eyes. And it's really, I was surprised at how great they were. I love those glasses. I can't believe I left them. I lost them someplace, but I did.
Yeah.
5 years for a pair of glasses, though. That's a pretty good run. I didn't feel too bad. But anyway, no, it's phenomenal. And Wiley X has all kinds of, those are the kind I wear. I have a pair of Ray-Ban and then a pair of Wiley X's. But yeah, it's amazing what they can do with them and the coating they can put on them so they don't scratch easily. Really phenomenal. What about gloves, Mike? What kind of gloves do you like?
I actually have a pair of their gloves. I have a couple pair, but I mean, I have their pair. I have their patrol gloves and I have their breech gloves. Actually, my breech gloves need to be replaced because they're trashed out. But they're very comfortable. Those got the carbon fiber knuckles, so you don't wrap your fingers. They got really, it's a really good feel. You can grab things.
Yeah, that's the problem with gloves. You know, the glove revolution started with grunts wearing Nomex flight gloves that the aviators wear, and then
then they started wearing mechanics gloves, mechanic gloves.
Slowly but surely, you've seen gloves morph into everything.
And then now it's into this stuff where
you have protected plate, you know, stuff on the back where your knuckles would get skinned up if you're, you know, depending on what you were doing, where you were going, leather tips on your, and so there's just crazy, crazy stuff. Talk to me about shooting, about gloves and shooting.
I shoot with gloves a lot of times, when it's warm out.
Trigger finger? Do you have cut off, or do you? Or do you?
No, that's a TV thing.
Okay.
These are gloves. These aren't thick gloves. These are meant for tactile. You can still use stuff, and in a lot of cases, they have the little finger. You can still use your iPhone and your tablets and stuff. But yeah, gloves are essential because you know the last thing you want to do is start injuring your hand. So. We'll always wear gloves.
I will tell you what, it is amazing. When you look at the technology that's put in, and in fact, everything that Mike's talked about today, starting from the stock of the weapon and moving forward, none of that stuff was around how many years ago?
Oh.
I mean, this industry has exploded, you know, with the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and the technology that's gone into it and all the different things Marines and soldiers have bought to take with them that were not available in our supply system and the innovations that got made and how those things got bought and taken, you know, overseas and whatnot. I mean, it's just phenomenal when you look at the number of gear choices, whether it be for your weapon, whether it be for your gloves, whether it be for your eyes. It is really astounding to see how this has exploded. It reminds me of, like, the way food is, food accessories and stuff have exploded on TV and on the internet and apps and all the rest of it stuff. It really is astounding when you look at, I mean, just you're looking at gloves and you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, you're looking at 6 choices right here just on in pretty basic gloves. And if you want to do hybrids of each of these, all you got to do is start shopping.
So yeah.
It's really amazing.
Well, Montana Man should get those ranch gloves because those are nice gloves.
They look cool too. You know what I like? I like the little cutout so that you can hook them on something so you don't leave them behind and lose them.
Yep. Smart.
No, it is. You see little things like that and you're like, whoever designed this is smart.
Yeah. Very smart. Yep. But the belts, now you look at the belts, the belts are cool.
Why?
Those are made for like gun holsters. You know, again, made in Texas. That's a good thing.
So they got to be great.
They're freaking awesome. And if you look at the little clothes there, if you look at it, like some of these belts, like the El Burro is, it's polymer. So it's impervious to, you know, the elements. But it's still pliable. And that's what's pretty cool. But the other ones are leather. Like one's the El Original leather, made in Texas. Great gun belt, without a doubt. So you look at the quality of that thing. It's like, this is nice. Real nice. And then my favorite, though, and I'm going to have to call my buddy because I really, 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 I saw this hat, this Culpepper flag, but it's out of stock. Or it's Liberty or Death, Don't Tread on Me, and it's got the snake, the Culpepper Minutemen. Man, I really, that's a cool looking hat. And the other one I really like, remember I was talking about the, like the 1960s or the Route 66. If you look at, it got to one of the cursive, it says Magpul Industries.
Yes.
That kind of reminds me, it's like that throwback.
It is. It looks like something you would have seen a truck driver wear in the 60s.
But it's pretty neat. And then the other ones, that's their logo, is that, that design.
Now, you can tell whoever designs their stuff, I mean, it's quintessentially guy stuff. Right, it's designed to look like guy stuff, but not look like idiot stuff. If you don't understand what I mean, don't worry about it.
Yeah, but Drake's got the full on beard. He looks like he's living in the mountains in Colorado. I mean, yeah, he is a gun guy. I mean, he's one of those out of the box thinkers. It's freaking hilarious when you're out. And now they came out with all this stuff called DACA. And I've never seen this before, but from the looks of it, it's all waterproof. You put gear in there, you can put it in your stuff, tablet, phone, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm going to have to look into that because that's actually pretty cool shit. And then the other one I want to get, it's just because it's funny. If you go down to the bags, are you down to the bags yet?
I'm still scrolling through.
I have a phone case. I like these new patches that came out. Don't Tread on Me, Come and Take It. But scroll down to the bags.
I like the Claymore bag.
That's what I'm about to say. See how they did the stitching, like the mouth and then the eyes, the buttons?
Yeah.
Dude, that is freaking awesome. You know? That's awesome. You know, and it says right there, tries not to take himself too seriously. This bag is designed to carry or for carriage and employment of the M18A1 Claymore mine. So it's a pretty good bite-sized bag. Yeah, that is a nice looking bag. The happy Claymore. Smile towards the enemy. I love it. I mean, they make it fun. That's the cool thing about it, you know? They make it fun, dude.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, anything else? Any other gear we're covering today?
No, we were just going to talk about them. But, yeah, do visit it because they got some really nice gear. And I'm gonna start getting some of the shirts because I like those type of shirts.
No, it's a good, actually, you know, it's a great website too. If you go check it out, magpul.com, and again, everything Mike's talking about as we've gone through the website, you'll see. And if you just go as you go through the website and just linger on stuff and allow the pictures to change, you'll see, right? You'll see all kinds of cool stuff, from their gear to their rifles, to their stocks, to their accessories. And you'll see, and just dwell on stuff for, I don't know, 15 or 20 seconds and allow the pictures to change and just see all the different things that they have and then go, then go hunting around for it. It's pretty impressive little website. They put together a great business. How long's Magpul been in business, Mike?
Over 10 years. I know that.
They're a baby company, man, and they're just blowing
up. Well, the founder is a former Marine.
Get out. We need to get him on.
Well, I think he sold the business, moved on. But if go to here's a really good photo, and they put it up. Go to the one top. It says about Magpul.
Yep.
Click on it.
Ooh.
Boy. That's when Fitz was in 3rd Recon Battalion in Okinawa, and you know, so you look at this picture. They got the UDT shorts. They got their black T-shirts on because that was Recon back then. But, you know, and again, you look at some of these guys, man, that's a bunch of hoodlums right there.
Everybody's got the mad dog look on their face.
Yeah. And I was looking through his picture, and it's like, I know that guy, I knew this guy, I knew that guy. You know, like, oh, my God. You know, looking at all these guys.
That's funny. That's a great picture.
Yep. Alpha Company, 3rd Recon Battalion.
Yo. That's awesome. I love stuff like that. Yeah. All right. Any big plans for the weekend?
No. I got the class tonight with the ladies in Fort Worth.
You fired up about it?
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Last night I was at a political stuff for one of the guys running for city council. Great guy. We're going to try and build a relationship, you know, when Ron takes his job and as the district or the county judge, we want to start bringing together the city and the county to work better together. You know, like in a lot of places, they just don't. So the city does their thing, the county does that, and then everybody forgets that the city lies within the county and the county needs the city. You know, so it's a mess, man. But slowly we're getting there. We have some really good people that are now been on for almost a full year. City council are doing great things. So we're getting there, man. We're getting there. We're getting the right people there.
You know, and it's always a challenge to do that because they're different political entities and they answer to different different constituencies. And to be honest with you, like all government agencies, if they don't talk to each other, all of a sudden you look around and say, they're doing what?
Wait, yeah.
And so when that going on, and the worst part about it is that it wastes money. When you're not nicely dovetailed into each other, you waste money, which is not good for the taxpayer. So that's good. That's good stuff, man. All right. Have a good weekend. Go Red Sox.
Hey, yeah. Hey, do me a favor. When you put this thing on there, put Happy Claymore bag on there.
You want that picture on there?
Yeah, that's a cool. I mean. Happy Claymore bag is my new favorite bag.
All right. No, I'll put that. And what other picture should I put up?
I don't know. Depends on whatever you want. But we got to put Happy Claymore bag up there. That's a cool looking bag. I wish that was big enough. If that came in a woman's purse, I'd get that.
Would Miss T Would Misty wear it? She went.
No. Then I would use it for my own range bag.
So she'd get it. She'd get it for a birthday present, and then you would have it for a range bag.
Yeah. All right, man. I will let you go.
Have a good one. Thanks, Mike.
Bye.
There you have it. Gun talk. How about that? The gunner. You could tell he's moderately a dork, yes? Gun dorks, they love that stuff, though. I will tell you this, though. It is honestly amazing. It's honestly amazing how that... Just like with cooking, though, how that stuff has just exploded. My thanks to the chef for coming on today. If you're tuning in late, the chef had a ton of great recipes today. Well, a bunch more from emails, but don't hold that against him. Matt, great job. Well organized and presented well. Well, let me just tell you, my function and all that, and I do this with the chef as well, is sometimes they begin to speak in code and not everybody gets it. So my job is to play kind of the village idiot. And when they start using acronyms and start talking that things that not everybody gets, and to have them explain it so everybody can understand. But no, Mike does a great job. He's been doing it for so long. If you ever see him with a group of Marines, with his sense of humor and his personality, he makes shooting a ton of fun and makes it a lot of common sense and makes it fun. Actually, and really, one of the things that if you can't tell my friends, they're all fun guys. And I think we all believe the same thing. There's no reason why the training we do can't be fun. I mean, it's going to be miserable enough, but there's no reason it can't be fun. And you know, and Mike is one of those guys who he'll make it fun. It's not always going to be pleasant, but we tend to have fun out there. I mean, most of us, we like that stuff. We like going to the field. We like living like that. So that'll do it on a Friday. Have a great weekend. Baseball playoffs start tonight. Two games tomorrow, one game Sunday, one game Monday, two games on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Again, I'm still, look, I started this program off with this thought, but I'm not exactly sure what's going on in Turkey. What they're trying to leverage this incident with Saudi Arabia into. My instinct was they're trying to make the United States look bad. making the United States choose. If we don't react strongly enough against the Saudis in the world of public opinion, right, which the Turks don't really give a shit about, and neither do the Saudis, right, the Trump administration would be diminished if they didn't react strongly enough relative to Saudi Arabia. So, but it doesn't make sense to me that in the midst of that, they would turn around and release this pastor who was becoming a problem for them. So maybe they know holding that pastor was a problem. The pretense for it was not good. And so by doing it in this climate, they get it done with, and they don't look weak. They look like they're making some gesture, blah, 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 blah. I don't really get it. But, again, people go missing all the time in that part of the world. This guy's a story because he's a correspondent for the Washington Post. He's not an American citizen. So, it'll be interesting. Have a great weekend. This program repeats itself momentarily, so on a Friday. Do good things, right? Embrace the gospel of post-traumatic winning. Use whatever trauma that's come into your life as a springboard to do greater things in your life. And by greater things, I mean touching other people that have been through trauma and making them smart about the basics of living with trauma. And in that way, you'll ease their pain, you'll do good things, and there is no feeling like touching somebody else's life and making it better. So I would encourage you to do that. So on a Friday, All Marine Radio, over and out.